Welcome back to another podcast episode with yourself, Ramblings of a Sikh. Today, I have a really, really funny guest who's joined us, who is about to start a UK-wide tour. So yeah, welcome back, Sokh Aujla, for your second podcast. It's been great. Yeah.
Thanks, man. A returning guest on a podcast. Yeah. Hello. Don't call it a comeback.
So yeah, you are the first returning one, yeah. And also, you're the first returning one that we've done in person. So yeah,
that's nice.
Definitely on a special manual. The one thing that I want to mention before we get going is, well done. I was looking yesterday, obviously last minute research for this, but I was looking yesterday for just things to talk about. And I noticed that you'd sold out loads of the venues that you'll be doing your tour at. And I was like, damn, like that's, like it must be hard to shift those number of tickets, but to do it that quickly is
yeah, like, man.
Well done for
Thank
that.
Thank you like, so genuinely. Much. Thank you. Look, I'm really lucky. I've got obviously got a great team behind me, but also I've got a great bunch of supporters, like people who will just come to so many gigs and stuff. And it's something that I don't think A, I'll never be able to get my head around it, and B, but just eternally grateful. Like, thank you so much. If you bought a ticket or, like, you know, people came to see my last show. Some people saw it two or three times.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, what? Somebody, and even the same with Sunny, my book. Yeah. You know, someone messaged me the other day and said, oh, I've just finished it. I'm going to start it again from the beginning. I didn't even, like, I've never done that.
Yeah.
I love books. I have favorite books, but, like, I have never done that with a book.
Twice. Yeah.
So that is, I don't know.
No, that's my.
I feel very blessed.
I just want to ask though, like, what? So I've seen you in person a number of times, and you're hilarious beyond belief. And like, if you haven't bought a ticket for the new tour, please go and buy one.
Yeah, wait, Damon.
Please. What goes into creating that new material? Like, for argument's sake, even just doing or editing podcast videos is just a whole kind of realm in itself. But you're creating fresh content. You're having to test it. You got to make sure it works. Then you got to make sure people like respond to it in the way you want and don't perhaps understand it. Like, as in, someone can say something and four people can take like completely different meanings from it. So like, how do you go about fine tuning? Like, what's the creative process like? And how do you also make sure it's fresh considering you've done a tour already? And like, that content's kind of in the back of your head shortly still, right?
No, I don't do that content again.
It just completely just disappears. So there's no, like, aren't you like, well, that worked. Can't I like, no. But then isn't that even harder? Because each time you're just starting from...
Yeah. It's called being a perfectionist. No, I basically... So my last one was called Life Sucks. And I wanted to talk... That was a bit more generic about my life and mental health.
Yeah.
And stuff, and my mental health diagnosis. So this one, I wanted to talk about... So I turned 40 during the tour. So I wanted to talk about being 40, what that means.
There's no way you're 40.
I know, right?
No. I'm not even saying this just because you're on the podcast, but genuinely, I wouldn't have thought you were 40. My older brother turned 40 in end of January.
Right.
And he looks 40. Sorry for seeing this and then you, like, you'll kick my ass later, but he looks...
He looks like he died 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. He looks like an old dude, right? What?
This is purely genetics.
I was gonna say your mom.
This is purely This is, my mom didn't get wrinkles. I don't think she till she was well into her 50s.
Oh,
yeah.
Same
in
the morning. Yeah. No wonder your dad was romancing her with all those vampire stars.
Not my dad. Oh my god. Anyway,
that clip when that one I posted that clip of you last podcast talking about your dad and your mom on Valentine's just as a short on YouTube. He did so well. Everyone absolutely loved it. And on TikTok, actually, everyone absolutely loved it. And I was like, that was partly the reason why I was like, I have to have another conversation. Like, people really take to, I guess the same reason why I did. They take to your comedy because it is culturally relevant as well. Like, we can connect to it on not just like, oh, that's funny, but actually, shit, I thought that, or I've had a similar feeling, or whatever it is, right?
That's one of the biggest compliments I think anyone can pay me about my work. Is I think, and I say this all the time, I think most things are funny. Everything's funny. You know, people falling down is funny. The fart joke is funny. You know, all of that is funny. But if someone's saying, you have reflected back to me my own experience, that is a huge compliment to me. I can really relate to that. That's really relevant. Going back to your question, The Undie is the name of the show. And it's because I'm turning 40 and I had a realization that I was like, A, it's a massive, like, a new decade is always a big thing.
You
know, because...
I turned 30 and almost had a midlife crisis. I was like, fucking hell, what's happening?
Of course, everybody has that, right? Like, I always find that years that end in a nine seem to be quite difficult for me because I'm on the cusp of something. Something's about to happen. Like 29, I had a horrible time. But 30, I was fine. 39 feels really up and down. I think 40, I'll be
just
fine.
Chilling. Yeah,
I think I'll be fine. I think it's that. And, you know, obviously a lot of my friends have just turned 40. A lot of my friends I went to school with or are also going to turn 40 very soon. And I think it's my thinking around, obviously, there's so much to say around getting older, being a woman and getting older, you know, and the narrative has always been, oh, I see, when you're a woman and you get older, you're kind of invisible, right? You'll see a lot about this. Women talking about it, or the media wanting you to believe this, that it's like, you know, your value is less because you're older, you know, and then it's menopause. And then that's kind of where the conversation ends. And I was like, kind of, you know, I realized, and I called it the auntie years, kind of tongue in cheek, because I was like, A, what does that word mean? Because it's used in a derogatory way if you're South Asian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No one's a positive.
I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing, but like when I see South Asian or Punjabi Indian Sikh women that are like my mom's age, I will automatically just call them auntie out of respect.
100%.
But auntie is used as a rinse though if you're on the like...
If you're younger.
Yeah, you're like, oh, auntie, chopkar, isn't it?
Yeah. Why are you being such an auntie? Yeah, yeah. Do you know what you mean? So I wanted to unpack that. I was like, what is that?
That's a joke.
Why do we do that, right? And also I realised that, you know, like when you're younger and everyone's like 100 years old, aren't they? Like,
oh,
you know,
yeah. You feel like 30 is like grandparent age. Yeah.
I was like, oh, you don't even think you're ever going to reach that.
No,
you're like,
no.
And I remember thinking, and this is one of the reasons that I was like, I'm going to call it the auntie years, was I was like, all these women that I was like, oh my God, they're so old and, you know, they're so judgy and they're so horrible. I was like, they were probably only 35.
Yeah.
When I was like seven, you know?
Yeah, true.
And so I thought, actually, this is the auntie years. And also something happened that made me go, oh, wow, I am... Because no one ever feels as old as they are, right? As
nah,
much
never,
as you say it,
never.
Right?
You feel like, however, like
100%.
18 or whatever, yeah.
Like I, last time I went and saw mum and dad, my dad was just chatting away and he said something like, you know, oh, buddy, okay, or something like that. You know, we're old now, which is just, oh, it just kills me. And he just went, you know, do the mesh, he was like, minnu shock like that. He said, well, look in the mirror. I'm shocked. I'm like, I ek da bada gaya. Like, you know, who's this old guy? Because he was like, andra da ni itta feel hunda mainu bhi main, you know, hai umar da
ya.
Yeah. And I thought, that's so true. And obviously, I don't, you know, I still feel like I'm about 17 and I have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know if that's ever going to go, regardless of how much I do or, you know, how much experience.
You feel the same. Yeah.
And I'd rather that than be like, I know everything because I'm so
Yeah, of course.
Age.
Yeah.
But I was walking home from last year. I was walking home, just had my nails done because we're making, you know, nice nail salon
fashion
money now. I'm loving that. So I had my nails done. And listen, every time I do stuff like that, I still feel guilt. Because I grew up in that generation where...
You don't do that.
You don't go to a salon and go for a nice facial. You buy face masks and super drug. You know, or you mix a little haldi and yogurt.
You make it at home.
This is, you know, it's Rimmel nail varnish or whatever, or, you know, Market nail varnish. So to me, it's still a treat to go get my nails
that's
done. Anyway.
That's right. I understand where you're coming from.
So I go get my nails done. I get a little snack.
A good snack?
Yeah, I went for always go strawberry yazoo.
Not bad snack.
Strawberry yazoo and the giant hula hoops, which I love.
Which flavor though?
I either go for barbecue beef or ready sorted.
That's a mad combo, man.
No,
not
right
together.
Them,
I know,
yeah.
But still, no, salt and vinegar for the win every time. Come
really?
On. Yeah.
Do you know what? I think I might be a bit allergic to vinegar because it gives me head sweats. It makes my head sweat.
Just your head?
Yeah, literally just my scalp.
I don't know whether you're taking the piss or not.
No, swear to God.
Someone comment below whether she's lying or not, right?
No. I used to eat them and I'd be like, oh, that's weird. And then I'd be like, oh, they make my mouth feel a bit fizzy.
Oh, yeah. That happens sometimes if I have too much of it and like the inside of my mouth goes weird. Head sweats.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's,
I can see why you would avoid
it. That's an allergic reaction, apparently. Or some sort of intolerance. Anyway.
Just to vinegar?
Yeah, I think so. Because I have it sometimes if I have ketchup as well.
Someone's going to come to your show and like throw
vinegar
on you.
Vinegar on you.
Oh, I got to this.
Oh, no. Not the vinegar. Yeah.
No, okay, sorry. So you anyway, with your snack.
So I got my snacks, right? My little blue bag with my snacks in, standard, right? From the little uncle shop.
You know what? I was actually going to bring the water in that blue bag.
Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what? It's going to look really bad on camera.
So I'm walking back. I'm walking through the park. I live near quite a nice little park.
Yeah.
Like lovely little lake. So I'm like walking past. I'm like, what a nice day. You know, great thing about being freelance is you can do this on a random day. It's lovely, right? I'm coming back. And there's two South Asian teenagers walking towards me, a boy and a girl. They're in their school uniform. They're holding hands.
Oh, grunting. Oh, terrible.
I was just like, I didn't think anything of
it.
I've got a strawberry yazoo to drink, man. I'm happy.
Oh, but they saw you, innit?
They saw me, right? And they're holding hands. And they just went... And I still didn't clock it because, listen, I'm just happy that I get to live my life, right? And I go home and I sit down. And I just went, I looked down at my blue bag and I thought, they thought I was an undie. They thought I was going to go and tell their mum that I saw them in the park.
And they think that you knew their mum somehow, innit?
And then I was like, but you know, that wouldn't... And then I realised I could be their mum. I can legitimately be their parent. Because I was like, oh, they wouldn't think that because I'm only a little bit older than them. No, they're 14.
I'm not 18 no more, man.
I'm not that. I'm closer to their mum's age. So that was part of it as well. And like dealing with getting older and also talking about, a lot of it is like a little bit nostalgic, talking about my childhood and obviously by talking about my parents and also then talking about undies that I knew growing up as well, right? All the different categories of undie that you get and how also maybe we can embrace that word and not make it an insult. You know, and actually in so many cultures across the world, maybe not in Western culture, but or Western society, like elders are really revered and like, you know, a woman gets older and she's like, you know, she's the wise one. You know, and people go to her, whereas here it's like, oh, she's got a hot flap.
She's old now.
She's
old.
Yeah. She's menopause. She's not going to get all the decent jobs. No one cares. Oh, you know, she's a whatever. And I thought it would be so interesting that just to kind of explore
head,
that, and talk about that.
What's funny is as you were talking about like the realization when you were an auntie, I was thinking about the gym yesterday, and I walked in, and again I had a similar thing. Right, I feel like I'm 80, 21. Yeah. I don't actually know, but just young, whatever that means, I was doing something on one side of the gym and then I had to go use the bench press. So I went to the other side. And as I'm walking, there's this Indian girl with a white guy, right? And they've obviously come to the gym together. And I'm assuming they're Warwick Uni students because the gym's nearby. And as I'm getting closer, she is getting faster at moving herself away from the white guy. And in my head, I was like, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, as in...
Yeah, what's the deal
there? Yeah, like, what's going on? I was actually confused because I was like, oh, is the fire... I had my headphones on, so I was like, is the fire alarm gone off or something? Because, she just ran off, right? Anyway, then I carried on whatever, inboard on my own. I noticed they were talking, but then she'd, like, go off again. And then later on, it clocked. I was like, she must think that I'm, like, judging her or going to go say something or... Like so-and-so's daughters with a white guy and this and that.
Do you think that's because you were at the star?
I look a particular way, right?
Right.
And I think also as a guy, and the same thing with, I guess, what your dad was saying, which is as a dude, you have like a mental image of yourself. And my mental image isn't actually what you see right now, if that makes sense.
100%.
And when I was at university, my beard was nowhere near this big.
Yeah.
And I looked far... childish, like more like as in you just look less intimidating as like the young you are, right?
Yeah.
So I do think a lot of that plays into it. But I was just like, bloody hell. I was like, that used to like I remember like similar to the kids in the park, like you'd go out with a girl and you'd be like, oh, is the auntie watching, or is so and so gonna say
whatever?
And then you go to the gym and they're doing it to you, and I'm like, what? How has the world turned in on itself?
The tables have turned.
Looking forward to your tour and seeing how that pans out, because as I said, relatable, right? As
in, it's just,
it's just interesting how certain things actually just don't change.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I talk a lot about change in there as well, how things have changed. So, for example, I know a lot of South Asian women who have teenage daughters or daughters in their early 20s, and they'll go out
Yeah,
they'll
yeah.
socialize together.
That's completely just
so strange to me. To, you know, or they'll come to our gigs, and it's brilliant, and it's lovely to be able to socialize with your mum, and you know, all your
culture shock. You're like, what is happening?
But I'm also like,
just unheard of, impossible almost.
We just never did that.
Yeah,
you know. But they're there going, you know, with their little gin and tonics next to your mum, and I'm like, does your mum knows you drink? And I think I talk a lot about how that, you know, our generation grew up with
very differently.
Very differently. The whole double life thing. Like, we should have all been recruited for MI5.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we'd have smashed it.
100%. I'm so good at, like, just completely still compartmentalizing my life. But now having that, how lovely that you can share these things with, you know, your mum or whatever. But I am going to judge you if you say your mum's your best friend.
That I don't disagree with. I think you need to have a friend outside your family.
Like, she can be your confidant, you know, she can be an inspiration, she can be a mentor, as well as a mum. But she can be the reason you go to therapy. Like, she can be...
That's normally the reason.
But I think calling your mum your best friend, I'm like, nah.
Be cringe, isn't
that's
it?
Odd. I mean, it's lovely in a way, because I don't think keeping secrets in that sort of way and living a double life is necessarily mentally healthy.
No.
Or emotionally healthy. But we did it out of necessity as well, right?
Well, equally, the consequence of perhaps telling them at that point is just too severe.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much.
Be on the plane, be in India before you know it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I come from a family that believes in capital punishment.
None of this like stuff these days. And
not
like,
gentle parenting.
Oh my God. That stuff absolutely, oh God, it irritates me so much. I won't name who it is because I will get in so much trouble. But,
You tell me off air.
I'll tell you the exact details off air, but I'll give you a stripped down version. We were at like a family friend event, and there's a child of someone who's attending, right? And this kid is going around, I mean, like, beating everyone, you know, like backhanding the kids and like slapping adults like on their legs, and like, I mean, like just hitting people until they react.
Right.
Anyway, I had gone to get food, or I hadn't arrived by that or something. Anyway, like, this dude was doing whatever, and we arrived, and some of my like nephews and nieces were like, oh, like, just came to say hello, and then we were playing literally in front of me, yeah. And then this kid comes around the corner, and you can see him wind back, yeah? But I mean, like, swipe at one of my nieces. I mean, like, it was like, you know when time slows down?
Yeah.
It literally stood out. I just saw his tiny little ass hand just like, and he went, and he swung back. And at that point, I just picked him up by his leg and just turned him upside down. And he's like, oh, and he's loving it. He's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Mom went ballistic.
His mom?
Mom blew a gasket, man. Like, fucking hell, it was... crazy, like, don't touch my child, right, this, that, they were... I get it, but if you're not going to discipline your child, someone else is going to discipline it for you. So, like, relax. So, yeah, that's the result of, like... what's the point?
But also, that just seems like inattentive parenting. Like, obviously, if your kid's running around doing that, they're not happy.
Something's going on.
You know, either they need attention, their basic needs aren't being met.
Or just
something...
some discipline, man.
Yeah,
like,
or just,
what
do you... like, what is it? Talk to your kid. What do you need? I mean, I feel like I am not qualified to talk about this as a non-parent, but as somebody who worked in education for quite a few years, there's always a reason that kids are acting out.
Yeah,
like, you know, there's something's going on, you know. But then also that's really hilarious that you did that, because I grew up in a community where people thought nothing of hitting other people's kids.
As a child, I wouldn't even dared to run around like that kid was, let alone be slapping kids off. Oh man, I'd have got I got whoopings, man.
Because also, you're not scared, only just scared of... I wasn't just only scared of my parents,
scared of
everyone's
the whole
parents.
Yeah, like the whole village, isn't it?
Everybody has the capacity there to backhand you, essentially.
And there was that just joint agreement that everyone is bringing up these kids, or maybe it wasn't explicitly like
said,
but it was very much inferred. And I guess we kind of turned out in it. I just think it's going to be interesting when the generation of kids that have been brought up by this general pairing in bollocks grow up, because they don't understand boundaries and discipline and like consequence.
I think if you can do gentle parenting where you explain boundaries and you explain, like, I've got a friend, a really good friend of mine, and a Punjabi Sikh friend of mine who's bringing up, you know, her kids in a very different way, in a non-reactive way. That's the first time I've seen it.
That's an interesting way.
That was really, because I was just watching her and she would just go, what do you need?
Yeah,
you're gonna keep either.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that to me, rather than going,
rather than a confrontation,
and she's just like really calm. She's like, "What do you need? What's going on?" And because of that, her eldest has such good communication. He's like, you know, and when he says, you know, that he doesn't want to play with something, she's like, "Okay, fine."
Yeah, yeah, fair. I respect that. You know,
Like, because you're giving your child, which is what we didn't have, sadly. I mean, I'm speaking for us both here. Really have that space to be a kid and mess up and make mistakes.
No, not in the way kids nowadays do.
So the fact that, you know, if he's kind of doing, you know, I saw her, you know, she's got a younger kid as well, you know, if her kid was a little bit getting a bit too close to the baby, she's like, no,
don't do that. That has to
be. But the difference is she's going, no, I've told you not to do that, as opposed to going, she's going, why don't you do that? And kids, I think we do not give kids enough credit.
No,
young children,
they are very
kids, know,
yeah,
very clever, very intelligent,
very locked on.
Yeah,
no, you're right. It's wild this whole, it scares me as well when I if and when I have children, because I'm like, bloody hell, the whole world is gone boggle when there's no discipline and everyone wants to be nice. No, I think it has to be like, you have to have a balance, which is,
it starts at home, right?
Hitting them can't be your first resort, right?
You can't. Yeah,
but it also depends. I think with boys, it's different. Like, if I had a teenage son who was like, I don't know, I'm just thinking about myself when I was a teenager, like 6 foot plus, who, I don't know, was getting into like street fights every day, then maybe he may need to be introduced to someone a little bit bigger than him, or sent to a martial arts class where someone kicks his ass and shows him.
But also there for the discipline, there, yes, for the community.
Yeah, yeah. But then also it can't be in isolation. Like, the whole, like, it has to be a cohesive, like, system of bringing up,
yes,
a child.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's almost like holistically bringing the child up, and then if they happen to be, I don't know,
whatever, they go off the rails, they do whatever, they rebel, they whatever, then you've kind of got to go, either, cool, here are your boundaries, mess up, do it within these boundaries, though, or you kind of go, cool, get into line. But it's difficult now because there's so many people raising children without a village. Because of how we live now, because of the gap between grandparents
getting
older.
Also, a lot of people don't want, like, so I personally want my parents and...
You want them to be around.
Same with my brothers and just the extended family. But it's almost like, I don't feel like a lot of people want that these days as well. There's like that whole... Going back to what we were saying at the beginning, like, your attitude of, I don't know, not a lot of people have that.
Mm.
And I think that is key to just life. Because you can't be like, oh, I know, I'm going
to
do this.
It's also really liberating to be honest and go, I don't know the answers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I spent so many of my school years and, like, you know, my younger adult years feeling like I had to have it all together, feeling like I had to know the...
Pick the box, have the car, the house, the this.
And now I'm like, I don't know the answer to that.
And I'm happy with it.
And if someone asks me a question, I'm like, I don't know, can you tell me?
Yeah.
It's really nice rather than coming from a place of... ego, I guess, and go, yeah, well, I know everything, and I know, I'm just going, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Teach me. You let me know, really.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, we've covered, what have we covered?
Gentle. All sorts, man.
Nothing that was on the actual sheet.
No, we're talking about bringing up kids, so if you
Which
ever...
neither of us have.
No.
Right.
I guess we're not probably the best for that,
probably
right?
Probably not. No, probably have to cut that bit out.
Aim for comedy, but hey, it's all good.
Do you want to open your present?
Oh, yeah, shit. I was trying to read the question, but no. Sook very nicely brought me a present. And I thought it would make sense to open it on camera, so...
I didn't wrap it or anything, because no one's got time for that.
Oh, have you signed this?
I've not signed it, because I wasn't... People get funny about that sort of thing.
Oh, nah, you got to sign it.
Okay,
you
fine.
You have to
sign
it before we leave. So, thank you. I will definitely read this. That is very useful.
The only way he's going to read it is if I give him a copy.
You know what? My mum gave me a hard copy of... No, I bought a hard copy of your book as
your
a pre-order. No, I ordered it for myself.
Did you?
Because I think after the first podcast we did, your book came out like... Not like straight away, but
relatively
soon after.
Yeah.
And I pre-ordered it because I was like, I won't forget that way, innit? Like, Amazon sorted, it'll just turn up when it comes. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I pre-ordered it. It arrived. And I think my mum came over. We were going to go for brunch or something. She came over and she saw it on the table. She was like, oh, can I have it?
Can't say no to your mum.
And I was like, okay, but you got to read it and then tell me about it. And then I'll do a podcast with her about the book. My mum read it and then she's never told me about it. So... So,
So yeah. She didn't hate it.
No, well, she said, I can't remember, we spoke about it, and she said like it was really enjoyable reading and how honest you were about like your own journey and path and all the rest of it. And the fact that it's new in that like people aren't that honest. And again, coming back to that, like South Asian, it's not unheard of, but it's almost...
It's rare.
Yeah, you're bucking the trend by being honest as a South Asian woman, and actually scrap that, as a Sikh Punjabi woman in that cultural context and everything that comes with it. So yeah, my mom definitely enjoyed it. So I will read
so
that.
So you
copy.
Finally got your copy?
Yeah.
You got your copy.
And I'll get you to sign it and I'll rub it in my mom's face. But look, she signed this. Okay, wait, I'll open that last. And then as always with every good Indian, I've got some tea. Got some good old char. You know what, yeah? I was actually thinking the other day, I'd love to be able to make masala char without like having to do everything.
Now you got it in sachets.
Smashed it. Capitalism. Have you tried this?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's my favourite. I wouldn't get you any old crap.
Cool.
Like, also, can I just say about that gift bag? I've never reused a gift bag so quickly. I only got that yesterday from a friend.
True Indian, isn't it?
Yeah. Under 24 hours, I've regifted. And it was a fellow Punjabi who gave me it. So it's definitely not his first time round.
It's proper in like the culturally correct, isn't it? Okay. Dear Omar, thank you so much for your support over the years. Keep smashing it. Can't wait to see what you do next. That's so cute. Thank you so much. That's really nice. Like, honestly, you didn't have to. And I really appreciate it.
No, man, I appreciate your support.
Because having... It's like what the guy was saying before we started. Like, it's not... I guess it's imposter syndrome where you're like, how have I ended up here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Someone's going to find me out.
Yeah.
Every time. Every time I start a new acting job, every time, I'm like, this is the day. This is the day they're going to come up to me and go, we're going to have to walk you off set because you don't know what you're doing, mate. You don't know.
And then to have like, and it's happened a few times now, to have people like yourself or other guests, like, I know this sounds really odd, but to have the feedback from people like yourself, I'm like, that's the point where I realize, I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually doing something, if that makes sense. Because you're never really outside of your own box. You never appreciate like what others see. And yeah, and equally like, you're smashing it. So to see it from someone else who's doing so well, I really do appreciate that a lot. Kind of taken the wind out of my sails with how cute that was. So thank you.
You're welcome. Men can show emotions too.
Yeah. I can cry if you know. I'm kidding. I actually need to check the questions.
Yeah, we need to do
I'm
the
gonna
questions.
Get in trouble. That was a good one. So your tour, not this tour, the last tour got messed up by COVID, right?
Yeah.
Now, COVID was obviously a horrific time for everyone in loads of different ways. But going back then, what was it like for you trying to, like, I guess actually, maybe not necessarily just you, but also the audience. Like, what was it like boring that?
Coming back?
Yeah.
Do you know what? You're right. COVID was, I mean, especially for the creative industries as well. You know, like a lot of industries completely decimated by it. To come back, I mean, I was doing like Zoom gigs and stuff, like a lot of comedians were, it's not the same. I remember, so I don't think I'll ever forget this gig. I do. I came back and it was like the September 2021 or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. And it was Sutton Coldfield, right?
Good loss.
Town Hall, right? And it was rammed. It was absolutely rammed. It was like, I couldn't see the back of the room because it was so many people. And it was like a wedding.
Did you expect that? Like,
no. I knew that obviously people had like had to move their tickets and they couldn't make certain dates and blah, 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 and things changed. So loads of people were like, cool, we'll come to Sutton Coldfield because you can't make your other, say,
Birmingham dates
or whatever it is. So I knew that it was going to be full. But to walk out there after not doing a great deal of live comedy, and that was my first show back, was insane. I was buzzing from it because I came out to... And I came out to Hey Jamal Law by Malkeet Singh. So it really felt like a proper, like Punjabi wedding, you know. Hey Jamal Law. And it was just, it was incredible. I loved it. I remember just, there was a point during the show where I just went, I absolutely love this. I'm having such a good time. Like I just remember, you know, as I was doing the show. Yeah, man. I mean, I'd only kind of really started the tour before we had to stop because of COVID. And I literally got stopped in probably one of the worst ways because I was about to go on stage and the venue decided to close down.
As in you're literally about to go on set,
And it was your local venue, it was in Coventry.
The Belgrade?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And because there'd been obviously, you know, talks about this has happened, that's happened, maybe things. Boris Johnson made an announcement and then certain venues, entertainment venues or whatever had to be closed down.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Do you remember that day?
Yeah,
and it was I remember because it was, I think it was like March or something.
I actually think my mom had tickets.
Really?
Because I remember them complaining. Obviously, it was a very small complaint, but like complaining of like, oh, we can't see her because they've closed the venue.
Yeah. But there were people, you know, and loads of people had kind of like messaged the organizer saying, well, I don't know if we're going to come because of this or, you know, because obviously some people are already feeling reticent about socializing. And I just remember being backstage, ready to go on and feeling a bit like, well, this is weird. I don't really know what this is going to be.
Yeah, completely.
And, and my the promoter and good friend of mine, Altaf, who like basically has put the tour together, came backstage and like turned off the tannoy. In a dressing room, you have a tannoy where you can hear what's going on in the auditorium. So in theatres, like you will have that. And he turned it off, and he was like, he's not a serious guy, like really, he's just a bit of a joker. And he just turned it off, and he went, so I'm about to tell you something. I'm not joking. I don't know why I'm getting emotional talking about this
because it was
so long ago now. But he just went, the venues decided to close down and you can't go on tonight. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, do you need a minute? What do you need? And I was just like, yeah, I just need a minute. And I just burst into tears.
Oh, bless.
And I don't even know why it's coming back like this, because obviously it was so long ago and I ended up doing a tour and we ended up doing over 50 dates in total, which is insane to me. But it was just like it was horrible because I remember all of a sudden just like this kind of like wave of just heat came up on me. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, what does this mean? And instantly you're like, you're looking for a tissue, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. And I'm good.
Don't worry.
I feel really bad that
That's
I don't have any.
That's good, man.
Everyone's watching like, what a bastard.
I can't believe you did that.
He's made a cry for the camera.
Right? For the views, right? To go viral. No. And I think it was partly because the unknown is terrifying, right? The show's been cancelled. I was just like, does this mean the tour's going to be cancelled? What does this mean for work?
Yeah.
If I can't perform live, how do I make money? How do I eat? Does this mean my acting work's going to go as well? Does this mean my voiceover work's going to go?
Like everything's gone. Yeah,
like
yeah. Not just
career,
one domain. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
My whole career is just going to be, and that's literally what happened. Everything came to a standstill. And coming back to it, that show was incredible. I loved the Live Six tour. I have to say what was amazing after the Coventry show being pulled, because I got so many DMs from women going, we're going to Bella Ritania, just across the road, come join us.
Yeah. Did you join?
No, I think...
Because you could do an impromptu set there, innit?
Yeah, but I was just like, I couldn't. I was an absolute mess.
Yeah, it was an absolute mess.
I literally was just like, I think we went to a peri-peri place. Around the corner. And then I ate my feelings. And then I was just like, I just want to go home. And I just got the train, because I was living down south then. But it was, you know, that was the, you know, and obviously then started a really awful time for everyone. And, you know, Sunny was my saviour in a way, getting that book deal, because it kept me on track. But coming back to it, it was just brilliant. I didn't feel like I'd had a lot of, you know, I wasn't like, oh, I'm rusty or anything. I didn't really feel like
nice.
It. I had Zoom gigs, I'd had other bits and pieces that I'd been doing kind of here and there. And then I was just raring to go with that show because I hadn't really got into it yet. I'd only been doing it for about a month. And then...
Oh, I see. So you were... Yeah, you still had like...
I had like the majority of the tour to go. So yeah, that was... I know I loved it. And then it continued. And I think my last show was on International Women's Day 2022, I think. Yeah. That was my last show.
So I remember in a similar circumstance, I used to tutor before COVID kicked in, right? And I remember driving to a tutor's house, listening to the radio, and I think Boris had announced schools were closing,
right,
and that the exams wouldn't take place. So I literally pulled over, rang the kid's mom, and I was like, basically, this is what's happened. There's no point in me coming. They were like, cool, no worries. Post-COVID, it's nowhere near. I mean, I've got like one or two, I think I've tutored like one or two kids since COVID stopped, whereas before it was like two or three kids a day. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
my question in relation to your stuff is like, was there much involved in like building that back up? Because whereas like with this, like it seems like it'd be impossible for me to go back to what it was like. Whereas for you, it seemed like as though you came back, the venues were raring, audiences were raring. You just had to kind of
deliver. Kind of go with it. And essentially that, I mean, look, a lot of venues still haven't opened since COVID.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of venues are like still like, we don't know what's going to happen with our funding. We don't know. We thought we were going to open, but now we're not going to open. Loads of venues that have closed down permanently all over the UK.
That's been news a lot.
And it's been really tough. I mean, logistically, obviously, you know, the nightmare and, you know, getting all of that back together. And, you know, because, and especially in theatre, because theatres program things so far in advance, you know, so you're like, can I have one date to do my solo show, please? And they're like, yeah, we're booked till 2026 or whatever, ridiculous that.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I think luckily I don't have to deal with the logistics of it all. Fair. But I still get, I'm still a bit like, it's just, you know, are people going to want to come? And look, it, you know, I did a lot of gigs where majority of the audience, if not all the audience, was masked. They were all wearing masks. They were socially distanced in the auditorium.
Oh, wow.
We had to move from like a sold out smaller room.
To a massive room.
A massive room.
And then space everyone.
Space everyone out.
Doesn't that mess with your head though? Because you're looking out and you're seeing like dots rather than a clump.
Yeah, 100%. Or like they would do things like you'd have people like, you know, in their groups, one or two seats free, then in their groups, but then no one on the row behind.
Oh, man.
And what they would did, rather than just leave that empty, is they covered it in black cloth at this venue. And they did that. So then I'm like, okay, I don't really know who to look at. And obviously, this is how we communicate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, you look and take people's facial expressions. Yeah,
and we all found that difficult when everybody was wearing masks.
Oh, shit,
even
you can't even see them smile. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I just... Just clock. Oh, hold on.
I did a few of those shows. I struggled with those.
But was... Did you think the reaction from the audience itself was different as well in terms of, like, were they as...
Yeah, because I guess there was a lot more to think about, wasn't there? There was this extra added layer of worry and tension around... Can I be here? Can I... Oh, I just, you know...
No one's really comfortable,
are
they?
Yeah, no one's really relaxed. But then on the other side, there were people who were like, oh my God, I can't... I'm so excited to be out. You know, I love socialising. I can't relate
to
people
like that.
I just
love the air in the sky.
Thank you for coming to my shows, but I cannot relate to you ever. so it was kind of a nothing in between, really.
Yeah.
It's either people were...
Extremes,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Bloody hell. All right, well, Fred, I'm glad to hear, though, that... things since COVID have seemingly been decent.
Yeah, man.
Everyone was very happy to see you back, and you've got a new tour happening, which I'm very excited about. So, no. And as a truly professional, I need to check my questions again, so.
How long do we have to leave at some point? What time do you have to leave?
I think we started at 20 past. Okay. So I think we've got about 20, 30 minutes left, so we should be okay. When I first saw you, which was at the No, I swear it wasn't at the Belgrade. It was like a comedy night or something. No, maybe it was. Yeah, it was the Belgrade. I've got you mixed up with this white guy, which obviously...
I often get confused to white guys.
Yeah, it must happen all the time, right? No, sorry. The first time I saw you, the reason why I resonated with... Well, you resonated with me so much was... And this is where I kind of explained it to my family when I left was... You were like the Dave Chappelle for Indians. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully not as problematic.
No. The original Dave Chappelle in like his first sketch show series rather than his latest gone bit nuts, right? In terms of, it's all culturally so like on the mark. Like, it's so long ago now, but I remember you like cracking jokes about like things within families and like relationships with your parents or whatever. But how do you like figure out the line, if that makes sense? Because there's a line of like funny, then there's a line of like it's a bit too far, and all of your work is like, as I guess it goes back to, as you said, you're a perfectionist, and it comes through in what you deliver. But like, I would find that impossible. Like, I just don't know how you have like a... it's almost like a community sensor, as in like in your own head though, as in you're not relying on anyone else to tell you, right? Because you have to print it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's a very personal thing in general with comedy and comedians, is the line is different for everyone.
Yeah.
So sometimes people will go, well, I think it's all right to joke about mental health or children with additional needs or, you know, trans people or whatever, they might be fine with that. I'm not fine with that. You know, I never want to... My thing is, am I punching up or punching down?
And you've never... That's why I think also I appreciate it. There was nothing where you were punching down, and most people's comedy often is at the expense of someone else.
Yeah, and I don't like that because to me that's just bullying.
Yeah, completely, yeah. It's just masked in humour.
Humour, yeah. And I don't find that funny. Some people love it because they're like, well, you're saying what I think, but I'm too scared to say. You know, some people love that, right? Because they go, oh, this is whatever. You can't say that anymore, but he's saying it. And that's great because that's who you are. This is just
you
who
say
I am.
Yeah, this
is just who I am as a person. And look, sometimes I'll go in there with a cheeky little joke about, you know, that's maybe a tiny bit rude or whatever like that, just to push it. But then it's a bit of an in-joke, right? Because it's like, I know you're going to be uncomfortable
about this.
And then we don't push it.
It's still culturally relevant in a sense, isn't
it? Yeah. And I think all that stuff about people are like, we'll see a lot of humour and they'll go, that's quite crude, or there's like a lot of swearing. I think if it's intelligent and if it's clever and it's relevant to the story you're telling or to the anecdote or the joke that you're making, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
And so this is just my, like, that's a really good way of putting it, an inbuilt community censor. I'm not saying anything that I would not say privately. Like, do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, this
is all stuff that I would say privately. This
the
is
jokes
all stuff,
you make at home is
what, yeah. 100%. And I'm always very aware that, you know, I'm a Sikh first, I'm Punjabi second.
Right.
And my dad is a Sardar. Right?
Yeah, my dad is, you know,
I don't want to be up there doing stuff that will in any way impact him negatively or impact his reputation and our reputation as a family. Now, do I poke fun at like my family set up and whatever and they do this? Yeah, of course. But you know what? It's in a good natured
way.
And
it's tongue in cheek.
And it's done in a way that I will say to my mum.
It's not derogatory or negative.
No, because I don't hate myself.
Yeah. You're proud and comfortable of your culture and your background. And I think, yeah, you're right. That's actually, that's probably, I guess, the kernel of it all, really. Yeah. Because otherwise you would. I can't remember the guy's name, but I saw a comedian. They were there on TikTok and it was such a crass joke. I had to unfollow him afterwards because I was like, that's actually just, like, terrible. And I was thinking of reaching out to him. I think he's from a Punjabi background to do a podcast. But after watching it, I just went... And it's that. And that's the thing. That's also what made me think about your comedy was... I was sat through the whole thing in that show going... Like, as in, it was just... I don't know. I think it's a fresher breath air in the sense of... Everyone loves comedy.
Do you want to do that bit again?
What did I say?
A fresher breath air.
Oh, that's cool-y! A breath of fresh air, even. Hey, comedian, right? No, sorry. A breath of fresh air. Oh, jokes. Anyway, because everyone loves comedy. Like, as in, we were, like, my dad used to really love Richard Pryor, so we grew up with, like, Richard Pryor, and then we had, like, all the stand-up stuff. Like, I still remember some of his jokes off the top of my head, but they're not repeatable, right? Like,
yeah.
And there was never, like, Goodness Gracious Me is probably the closest thing we've had to, like, Punjabi comedian. But even that was a sketch show, so it wasn't necessarily the same thing.
It's a different format, yeah.
And then also, like, I grew up in a house that, I don't know whether you remember it, but, like, Bottom and the Young Ones.
Yeah.
Like, with Rick Merrill and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, comedy was so just everywhere. And then seeing you was, like, there's comedy, like, as in, it was almost unheard of to see comedy in the Sikh Punjabi community. And also in a way that's not taking the piss, because everyone has those, like, stupid, shitty Sing jokes.
Yeah. Which I hate.
Yeah.
Which I hate. I'm like, why would you do that? And I think it's also like, so I grew up in a house where I watched all of those, all those, you know, I get all those references because I watched them. But as a family, we, you know, if my parents were even now, they'll watch like the really Punjabi style of humor from Punjab.
Yeah.
You know, the sketches, the canned laughter, the sound effects, you know, all of
it's
that.
It's a very like older type of, not older in its...
In a British way, it would probably be like variety, right?
Old school
music hall, that sort of thing, right? That's probably the best way to explain it. It's slapstick.
Slapstick's the word, yeah.
It's bigger, it's larger than life. And I think probably what you're then seeing is somebody doing comedy in a very British style.
Stand-up
in a very British style, fairly deadpan. And a kind of storytelling more than...
And also British humour. You're right on that, which is British humour's very like... dry and distinctive that's also what your package almost, because you're not just like I guess what is interesting is you're not Sikh Punjabi, as in you're not slapstick and you're not coming from that angle. You're actually coming from the British diaspora experience of what it is to be.
And I know it's very specific because I know a lot of South Asians won't relate to me either, you know, because they'll be, because they're not working class or because they don't know what a big light is, because, you know, they might not know any of that stuff.
It's only when the in-laws come over or friends come over that you got to put the big light on.
Yeah, none of the big light on. Yeah. But then there's a lot of other people that come to me, a lot of Jewish audience members, a lot of black folks will come up and be like, yep, grew up in a Nigerian family, 100%. Or, you know, my friends who are Greek who are like, oh my God, my nan was like that or whatever, you know. So
it's a person of color experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's also a working class experience.
Yes.
A lot of, so I've been supporting Gus Khan on his tour.
Nice.
So I did a few of his tours and what were a few of his shows. And I was like,
if you can introduce me to him in it.
Yeah, of course.
He's from Coventry, which I love. But
did you not come to see any of his shows? Or they just sold out quite quickly,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah. And then also half the problem is trying to find a date that fits with, like, and then, yeah, I have a meaning to wanting to reach out to him, but no, sorry, carry
100%,
on.
100%, I'll link you up.
Thank you.
I don't even know where I was. What I was...
You were saying you were touring, you're supporting Gus Khan.
Yeah, so I was supporting Gus Khan. And, you know, I think in my head, and this is a personal thing, as a comedian, you know, you think about who your audience is and you think about, like, who comes to my shows, majority South Asian women, like majority Punjabi women or Sikh women or whatever, like, or just general Asian women. And I was like, oh, Gus, I was like, are you sure? Because I'm going to do all, your audience is going to be quite different, you know? And there's a lot more. We did it in, where was it? Warwick Art Centre. And in one of the spaces there, and there was like, a lot of white faces, not many Asian faces at all. And I was like, oh,
I would not have expected that.
Yeah. And I thought, because it's Gus and because it's what he does, I kind of prepared a set that I was like, oh, I need to think about this because.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pivot.
Yeah. And I had to completely change my set. And I came off stage and honestly, I was like, that's the worst I've ever done. Hated it. I was like, I don't think they enjoyed it at all. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, afterwards, I just remember like walking out and just loads of white people. Just being like, we're coming to your show. We've just got a flyer. We're doing this. Because they were, a lot of them were white working class people.
Oh, so they still understand
so
where you're coming from.
So they still understand it. Because they understand big lie, trying to save things.
Yeah,
trying to
standard.
Put on a front for other people. You know, all the things that we talk about and we think are exclusively Punjabi are not exclusively Punjabi. Like,
no.
You know, they're really relatable to other cultures. So.
I'm still amazed that you can pivot that quickly and like.
Here you go, man.
Perform. I just disintegrate. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Inside?
You had,
I was just dust. Like, there was nothing. I have never done so many ardasa. I was like, literally side of stage. I was like, hey, please, one, please, one, hard. I was like, 100%. That is not the only time you should pray, by the way. But I'm also just to be very clear, that is not the only time I pray either, thankfully. No. But
you seem really resilient and really, like, quick and able to pivot. Like, that example is wild. As I said, I disintegrate. And again, like, I keep going back to my mom and family members coming to see you at that Ladies of Laughter thing the other night, right? And the one thing that they commented on was that you talk openly, and this isn't like new to anyone, but you talk openly about mental health and your own mental health. I guess my initial question is, why are you so open about those things? But then equally, like, how does that work for you? Because I don't know, for like, personally speaking, I don't know whether I'd want to open up about my personal health.
100%.
And I just find it interesting that you are so open, but equally, like, just from this conversation, I know this is an assumption, and assumptions are the mother of all efforts, right? But like, you just, as I said, you come across like so solid, like you're just ready, like, as in, you just seem like you're resilient, you can pivot, you're all perfectionist. Like, shit goes tits up, like, for everyone, but you'll find your way. So I guess, like, to me, it seems almost like they're opposite.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's like, despite my own battles with anxiety disorder and depression, I'm still fairly resilient.
But you're just smashing it. Like, as in, it doesn't even, like, as in, I'm sure they play a role in your day-to-day life. But again, I guess it comes back to the example of, like, your resilience, which is your... I guess you're managing it just as well as the comedy. Like, you're just as perfectionist as you are your comedy, you seem to have perfected and managed that.
I mean, I've struggled with it for a really, really long time. And I've figured out kind of what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And it changes all the time as well. And, you know, it, the nature of mental health, the nature of your mental health condition changes as kind of years go on. Like, I talk about it because it just made sense to me. I never really questioned it. I talked about it. I had an experience back in 2018 where I was sitting with a lot of people and we took plant medicine, essentially, which is, I know, is illegal in this country, but went abroad to take it. And I was sitting there even before we had started to actually take part in the ceremony.
Oh, she takes drugs. No, okay.
My mum knows, okay? So
my mum was there.
Yeah, she's like, we're best friends. And I remember sitting in a room, there were 11 of us, and we were all people from literally all over the world. The youngest person was 19. The eldest people were in their 60s.
Okay? Oh, my. Yeah. That sounds like a fun time.
100%, right? And we're all sitting there, and the facilitator just goes, why are you here? Why are you here? Like, tell us why you're here. And we all went round, and everybody had their personal journey for, like, their personal story and what brought them to this moment where they thought, I am going to take this plant medicine, which is known to treat all sorts of mental health conditions and other addictions and all sorts of other things. Every single person said, and I don't think I'll ever forget this moment for as long as I live, because it really feel like something I've just carried with me since. Every single person said a version of, I don't feel like I'm enough.
Okay.
They didn't say those words.
But more or less.
The core of the whole reason every single one of us was there. And the more I kind of go out into the world and the more I talk to people, we're all struggling with this.
Which
is why I then did Life Sucks and I got everybody to say, like, you know, you're not messing up as badly as you think you are, you know, and that was the kind of the message of the show. And I think for me, the more I talk about it, I hope that that creates a kind of catalyst effect that other people will feel happy either seeking help if they need to seek help, either admitting something to themselves.
Normalizing it more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we all, you know, we all have mental health. Do you know what I mean? You know, just like we all have physical health. So the fact that we don't talk about it is ridiculous. And we are like, things are changing a lot and moving around. And I think even since I've started doing stand-up and started talking about it, which has only been a few years, to me, yeah, like day to day, do I have my issues and my struggles and everything? 100%. I'm in an industry where I'm a writer, a comedian, and an actress. All three industries are notoriously unstable.
And public facing.
100%.
Am
I going to do this forever? Probably not. Like, am I always on the, like, teetering on the edge of burnout? Hell yeah. Like, 100%. Am I trying to figure out how to regulate my nervous system? Like,
all the time, constantly. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm lucky that because I have a background in acting I went on a lot of dates in my 20s, that I can always pretend I'm having a good time.
Everyone who went on those dates, hey.
I was pretending. If you've been on a lot of first dates with men, you can always pretend you're having a good time.
Cold. Well, how do you follow from that? To be fair, you're right. As in, the conversations you create as a result of you sharing your own experiences are massive. Just the fact, like, that was one of the first things my mum's mentioned to me when I saw her soon after it. And more people need to talk about it because it only helps.
Yeah.
Normalize those conversations. Because again, it's like, when I was younger, it was like, boys don't cry.
Yep. Yeah. Still there.
Yeah.
Just in a slightly different way.
Yeah. And now you're just like, well, we have the opportunity to do things differently. So why not?
But it's not a huge leap to see, like, if you're raising your boys to go, boys don't cry, don't show any weakness, you know, you're not a man if you have feelings, essentially is what you're saying. And then it's like, oh, the highest rate of suicide cases
is within young
men. And you think, oh, I wonder what's happened there. Like, you know, we've done it to ourselves. But I think comedy can be a great vehicle to talk about these sort of things. And obviously I'm not the first or the last comedian to do it. Because I know I would rather take in information from that format than read a leaflet.
Oh yeah, of course.
Or look at the NHS website.
But equally, you're so I know this is also like being a bit nerdy and it comes back down to like content or whatever, but comedy is engaging.
Of course,
everyone wants to laugh. As you said, everything is funny, right?
Yeah.
And everyone wants to laugh. And as soon as you laugh, you feel good. And automatically you want to do things.
Can I just stop you? You know, you said everyone wants to laugh. I met one woman who said to me years and years ago. No, seriously, please, right? 2018, I was doing a food festival in Kent, right?
Yeah.
An outdoors food festival. And I turned up and I was like, this is going to be horrendous. Like, there's like a food festival, there's kids running around. You know, it's a fairly kind of, you know, I was like, oh, there's picnic tables and then there's a stage. And I was like, no one's going to be listening. How are you going to get through? And I ended up doing quite well, right?
Yeah.
Because there were no Asians there either.
Oh, like, fair. I was wondering which part of Kent you were in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The racist part. So basically, I was like, this is going to be horrendous. Whose idea was it to put me on this? And I literally have to go think of the money. Just think of the money. Just take the money and go.
You're going
to
get paid. Just please. Yeah.
Just do it. And sometimes you have to do that. You know, people like to tell you the creative pursuits are all, you know, airy, fairy, wavy. Yeah, that's not going to pay your council tax.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was there and I did it. And afterwards, I was chatting to some people. Oh, it was brilliant. Really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, wow, thank you. And then this woman came up to me. She had like, you know, the old school white ladies, right? And they have a little...
Yeah, Karen, I think one of them died, but...
Maybe it's that one because it doesn't have a light on it anymore.
Yeah, hold on.
Go on, check it.
12 seconds later.
I feel so professional when I do that.
It's good.
Yeah, sorry. Where were you?
Oh, the lady.
Yes. Yeah. So you're at this.
So I'm at Orpington Food Festival, right? I'm just going to say it, right?
Oh, mad. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the place, you get the vibe.
The name, yeah, you get the vibe.
And I've actually done quite a good set, okay?
This has
gone well. I'm chatting to some people.
This is before COVID.
Yeah.
18. Okay, yeah.
And there was a barrier. You know, like they have those barriers at music. I don't know what they thought they were going to like storm the stage or something. You know, they had those big metal barriers,
right?
And she's leaning over it and she's got like a proper old school handbag. She's got like the curlers and the hair, like, you know, the set hair, right? She's got like a little Benson and Hedges, right?
She's getting better.
She's just doing this. She's like, I was like, oh God, she's going to be like, going to say something horrendous, just horrendous, isn't she? It's going to be awful.
I'm expecting some racism.
And you know, your racism senses are going off, right? And I was like, oh, and I'm like, okay, put your face on, it's fine.
But
like,
the whitest voice on you can.
Yeah, and I was like, hello. And she went, I don't normally like to laugh, but you made me laugh. Genuinely the best compliment I've ever heard. But I was also like, what do you mean you don't like to laugh? Who doesn't like to laugh?
How can you? Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good compliment to get from the serial non-laugher.
Yeah.
But,
so just to say...
Fair. There are people out there who
thought it was a universal truth that everybody likes to laugh.
They don't. Fair. I wonder what happened in her life to make her not want to laugh.
I know, man. She's... Yeah.
It's a good compliment. I don't know how I'd react in that moment because I'd be like...
You just got to say, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope to see you at a show soon. Like, you just got to put your face on and go...
It's like those TikToks you see of people telling someone a joke that makes no sense and then they'll ask them to explain it and the person can never explain it. And I love it.
Oh, I've not seen those.
Catches them out.
Brilliant.
And it's the same thing. You're just like, yeah, cool. And you just don't want to... It's not... You just don't want to have to engage, right?
Yeah.
No, fairs. Okay, so my penultimate question... I would love to see you be like the trend of Punjabi Sikh comedy, and I hope people see you and are like, I can do that too. And
we
see more and more of them, right?
I want there to be 10 of me, you know, not me. Don't
that would be pretty mad.
Material,
imagine 10 sooks.
But like not like a little Ravan sook, like where you got like 10 heads of me.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, like, I want there to be so many people coming forward.
What would you say to yourself when you were entering this field, or like to youngsters entering? So if I can say, when I was researching you the other day, I noticed you had been in EastEnders. I know this is going back a bit.
Yeah.
Like, you're in EastEnders, like, you've been in some serious thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just carry on. It's fine. You've been in some serious programs. Like, what is involved in going from like acting school to doing that, or like going from learning something to being a stand-up comedian?
Yeah, I mean... It's going to sound really weird. My thing is just say yes. Just say yes. Know yourself and just say yes. Keep your reason for why you're doing this at the core of what you do. And the reason can't just be fame or money, because that will get boring very soon.
Yeah, true.
You know.
And there's lots of ways to do that.
Lots of ways
doing
to do that.
This,
and a lot of easier ways to make money than to, you know, do what we do. What
it's
I
our
do.
Photos of your feet, man.
Exactly. So much easier. So much easier. And you don't even have to leave your house, which is the dream.
No, you like that one as well, and do it. Just...
I think this is where I announce my retirement and go, you just know.
At the end of this video is the link in the... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I there are a million different ways to get into this industry.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to do it, the only way that you're going to know if you're any good is just by doing it. You're going to fall on your ass so many times.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And there is no one way to do it. You can spend money and time doing 10 different comedy courses, going, oh, I'm not ready, blah, blah. But if you're doing stand-up, best thing to do, write 5 minutes, go find an open mic night and do it.
And just gauge reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll be horrendous because everyone is awful at the first time. It's, you know, just like, you know, you can't learn to walk without falling over.
Yeah, true.
It's exactly that. There is no easy way to do it. You know, yeah, sure, there's a little bit of luck involved in that.
But that's what I mean when I was asking earlier about mental health, which is like, you, like, so on paper to me, it doesn't make, when I say sense, like.
No, I know what you mean when you say that.
Because you're kind of like, you're going into an industry that is literally like the depths of hell in terms of like turning off. I wouldn't even go do a bloody open mic thing, man. I'd shit my pants.
Yeah.
But to have that.
But you know that. And that's the difference.
You don't, what, you're saying you don't know that? You're
I'm just like, I'm going to do it. I was just, but the great thing is,
you
would never do that because you're like, I have no desire to do that and I'm scared. But if you had a desire to do it and you were scared, I would say do it.
There, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's not that I'm not scared. You know, what is...
You're just like, let's do it.
Yeah, what is that definition of courage? It's not like the absence of fear. It's like kind of feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm literally like...
I like that.
I'm constantly terrified. I'm constantly nervous. I was nervous about today. I was nervous. Yeah, I'm nervous all the time.
Oh.
You know, I came in here. There's all these shipping containers here. I was like,
where's it brought me, man?
I was like, this is how I died.
Yeah. Is this the start of the horror movie?
But it's kind of doing things in despite your fear.
I like that. It's a good way of putting it. You definitely left me with food for thought. Thank you for that. My last question.
Cool.
Because we're a camera down now as well. But my last question is, what is in the pipeline? Like, what's coming next? What can you tell us? What can't you tell us?
When is this going to go out? Do you know?
So, because your tour hasn't started yet, I'm going to try and get this out before your tour starts.
Okay.
Because what happened, which is quite funny, is post-COVID, after, when you started your tour again, loads of people would end up in the comments being like, I saw Sook tonight. She was brilliant.
That's so nice.
Oh, I love Sook. And like, as in, I remember some random days waking up and they'd be like, oh, comment on your video. Like, comments on your video?
Yeah.
And I'd be thinking, oh, it must be the latest one. And it'd be like, oh, someone's commenting on your Sook Audler podcast. And I was like, oh, man. So, yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to plan to push it before because that way then hopefully people go buy tickets.
Yeah. Please do.
So, yeah. So that's the one.
So there is something coming up. I can't talk about it.
Okay.
What's the... It's going to... I'll basically be on your screens a fair bit.
Nice.
I reckon probably like late summer onwards.
Can you say like what channel it could be on? No, you can't say anything. Okay, fine. I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Only because I've had to sign things. And...
Yeah. Fair, I don't want to get anyone in trouble. No, that's completely insane. Okay. Ha ha. Okay, no, fair. I just want to say thank you again. Like, this has been absolutely incredible. Half the reason why I should do these more in person because it's so much more fun
than doing it.
Yeah,
I've really loved
camera.
It.
And thank you for everything. Like, thank you for the presence. Thank you for also turning up. Like, it means a lot. Equally abandoning you in like these like random containers and then being like, we're actually here for a podcast, I promise. And all the struggles of trying to get in.
We're good.
But no,
we
thank
persevere.
You. And honestly, like, I wish you all the best with your upcoming tour. Hope it goes swimmingly. I would definitely, I'm going to get hold of some tickets, so hopefully you'll see me in one of the audiences at some point. Please don't pick on me, though.
No, 100%. Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is what I was going to say. If you're like, a lot of people don't go to stand-up shows because they don't want to be picked on.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy.
Ah, fine.
So if I might ask you your name and be like, oh, you know, what do you do, whatever, but that's what I do to every audience. That's just a way of...
Like breaking the ice.
And seeing who's in the room and stuff. I will never be like, you know, you're a whatever. Like, I will never, like, lay into you or... I don't like making fun of people's personal appearance. I feel like that's too much. Like,
have you had any hecklers yet? Good. No, the reason I ask is I remember seeing the Jimmy Carr. I think we spoke about it in the last one.
So, yeah, the takedown.
This guy ripped. Jimmy Carr ripped the heckler so badly that when they kicked him out, his girlfriend put his top over her head to hide her face.
Oh, did you know that bit?
I mean, like, as in he... I've never seen someone as quick and as fast as Jimmy Carr. I mean, he went from performing to just, I mean, eviscerated the guy in about 20 seconds. And the whole room was like,
yeah.
Like, that skill was just wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad you haven't had any hecklers. And don't heckle
don't
her.
Don't heckle. Don't yeah. be a... Don't... It's not about you.
Yeah, don't heckle her. Heckle at Jimmy Carr, but don't heckle her, please.
Heckle those things.
But no, thank you for everything.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
It's been an absolute blast. And yeah, I just... Honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing you, like, I don't know, international tour, selling out, like, what's, like, the big venue that, like, for football, it'd be Wembley? What's it for comedy?
I mean, look, Live at the Apollo would be amazing.
Oh, that'd be... Please put her on Live at the Apollo. Oh, that'd be quality.
I would love Live at the Apollo. I would love, do you know what? I would, and this is probably quite niche, but I would love to go to America and Canada, obviously. Brilliant. I would love that. But I would also love to perform in Punjab, in Punjabi.
You know what? I genuinely think that that's not a million miles away because they're like the...
There is an appetite for stand-up there,
yeah. And also if you look on, like, sometimes when I'm on TikTok, I don't know how, but I end up in like Punjab TikTok.
Yeah.
And their comedy isn't... Like, their cultures aren't a million miles away. As much as we as a diaspora
think
we're... Like, as in, I'm sure other people are seeing this, but you go into FYP and there's, like, kids... When I say kids, like, boys, teenagers in Punjab rapping to, like, hardcore rap beats. In Punjabi, and I'm sat there going, I could just about say what you're saying as a sentence, let alone have the... A bit, and it's just insane. So... Yeah, very similar. So I would ask that we call it.
Maybe like Chandigarh or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
I think they're ready. You know, I don't think Jalandhar's ready for this.
It has to be like a city type.
Yeah, I think it has to be. Yeah.
No. So yeah, I will. I'll have to.
Also, no shade to Jalandhar because Dwaba for life, but also I just had to put that in there, just in case people were like, "I'm from Jalandhar."
I'm also
Jalandhar district as well. Yeah, but you know, Chandigarh people
just
hit
north
me up.
Of the Sutlej and that. But I can't say thank you enough for it. No, it's been absolutely blast.
It's been a joy.
Hope your tour goes swimmingly. Hope the next tour is international, or at least bigger than each one is an incremental increase. And yeah, just keep smashing it. Every time I see you post it, I'm like, yes. like this, I don't know, post this shit. It's like a gotta be gal in it. It's like you're like, So no, thank you.
Appreciate
you. And everyone watching, if you haven't bought a ticket, please go buy a ticket. And if you have, buy another ticket for someone else. But do come, though. Don't just buy the ticket and then have an empty seat, because that would be...
That's horrible when that happens.
And also, like, comment, subscribe, and all the rest of it. And is there anything... Do you want to plug anything?
No, that's it, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing the tour. Keep supporting live comedy.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to see more Asian people on TV.
Yeah.
That all starts in the comedy clubs. So come out and support us, please.
Awesome. No. Brilliant. Thank you.
Cheers, man. Have you got to do this?
Who knows? We'll find out, innit?
That probably means something completely different.